Welcome to a quick Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. We have a change chat with one of the leaders in the change management field.
Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Jen Fram from Conversations of Change, and we're back with another one of the Change Chats, 20 minutes of goodness with one of the leaders in the change field. Today, I'm really delighted. We've got Joanne Rinaldi from Being Human and ProSci with us. Welcome, Jo.
Hi, Jen. Wonderful to be here. Pleasure.
Oh, so pleased you made the time. Jo, we were having a chat the other day about some of the stuff that's happening in your world, and certainly, you know, the new report is out from ProSci, which is quite comprehensive. I want to get into some of those things, but before we do, can you share with the listeners what your experiences in change? How did you get into change, and what were you doing before you came to be working for Being Human?
Wow, great question, because I think I've actually been doing change almost nearly all my life, not realising that it was change. So let me answer that properly for you, though. Having said probably in the last 12, 13 years, I've been formally working on change management as a discipline, as a practice, leading change from mergers and acquisitions, project, digital transformation, building capability, all that in a formal sense. And I say formal because back before it was called change management, it was training and comms. Mm. So I graduated from training and comms, L&D perspective and projects, into change management. And now it also forms part of my title, which is lovely.
Wow, so it's kind of full circle for you then.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's great to have that structured approach, but also that language. And change management is becoming such a strong discipline of profession now, as you know, Jen. Mm. It's just lovely to be in this space and calling it a formal profession.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, it brings with it wins, and it brings with it considerable challenges to us. Yep,
without now, a doubt.
Good segue, the challenges of change. So I got my hands on the latest ProSci annual report, the big research study document, and it is a comprehensively heavy document, that one, Joanne.
Oh, look, without a doubt.
tell us how what's the research that goes behind that report, and what were some of the highlights out of it this year?
Yeah, look, great question. In the 2016 edition of the ProSci Benchmarking Report, I mean, we're talking about 18 years of research, over 4,500 participants. And, you know, every 2 years there's a survey and people are invited to participate and answer amazing amount of survey questions on the topic of change management and what worked, what didn't. And I have to say that the greatest contributors to success that came out of this last best practices report was, number one, active and visible executive sponsorship. Mm-hmm. Number two was structured change management approach. Mm-hmm. Three, dedicated change management resources. Four, integrated, engaged with project management. Five, employee engagement participation. Six, frequent and open communication. And number seven, engagement with middle managers.
So if I put my over the years kind of hat on, there's probably not much that's surprising us about that list, is there? Like it's kind of the same.
Exactly. So if anything, it probably already acknowledges for us as practitioners what we already know. Mm. But the fact that it's consistent among all other practitioners all around the world doesn't make us feel alone. So it's almost like, yep, I get it, and it's not unique to me or in my organisation. It's actually a common theme. Mm. And the next question for me is more like, well, then what? It's great to know this. Then what do we do with this?
And that's what I guess I'm wondering with that is kind of, you know, you have to ask what the so what factor is.
Exactly. Well, I guess the key one that it's been, you know, for the past 18 years, Jen, frequently number one has been active and visible executive sponsorship. No surprise there. Yep. I mean, Cotter, you know, Daryl Connor, all these greats with regards to leading change will always say that executive sponsorship is number one. Mm-hmm. And ProSci backs that up in our data as well. You also see it as PwC, et cetera. But I have to say, the most common question I get the most, Jen, in the programs that I run, the certification programs, is actually all around communications and engagement. How do we engage with sponsors? How do we get middle managers to lead and support and communicate the change? So as sophisticated as we can be in the field of, you know, change, digitalization, you know, et cetera, we're still going back to the basic key strong elements of communication.
So how do you answer those? Because, you know, can you separate Joanne the practitioner from Joanne the facilitator on that?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, absolutely, Jen. And this is where, and still I work with a lot of clients hands-on, so a good half of my role is also hands-on practicing in change management. And working with this from a pulse check point of view, so when we're running pulse checks, understanding how people are engaged and maintaining engagement, there are three critical questions that I always share with other practitioners that you want to and must have in your pulse checks. Mm-hmm. Number one question is, do you understand what the change is? Number two, do you understand how this change will impact you? Mm-hmm. And number three, do you know what is required from you to participate and engage in the change? So it's one thing to help create an engaging, compelling case for change, but to know that the messages have gotten to the individuals and the end users is by asking at least these three core must-have questions.
The questions in of themselves are really quite simple, and I am in full violent agreement on the importance of asking those questions. But what I've found, and certainly many of the people who talk to me, we often get pushback on the approval to ask those questions, if you like, or to roll those questions out. Has that been your experience, and how do you work around that?
Yeah, look, I can't tell you how many times I've even had an executive, come up to me, an executive sponsor, and say, oh, Joanne, can you open up and communicate, you know, with the team or this department with regards to what I was going to do this morning for us? You know, I'm swamped, I can't do it. And I'll say, well, that's nice, but no, it needs to come from you, because employees want to hear from you, or they want to hear from the manager. They don't want to hear from the change practitioner. And I've got data that supports that. And he'll look at me, or she will look at me and say, oh, okay. And I said, look, we can rearrange another time, because at the end of the day, what's important is not what we communicate, but it's who it comes from. And I really reinforce this with our middle managers and our executives to say they want to hear from you. I'll help you with the language, I'll help you with the communications pack, but it needs to come from you. If you don't want to deal with resistance down the track, this is one way of doing that.
Yeah. In terms of I guess, what you're seeing within ProSci and with the organisation, you get access to not only a lot of the research, but some of the future trends. What are you seeing on the horizon that we perhaps want to be mindful of?
Oh, look, there's a lot happening on the horizon. There's, you know, amazing data coming out from, you know, Magic Leap. So if anyone is interested, go on to YouTube and just type in Magic Leap, L-E-A-P. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in seeing the trends of technology and you know, holograms to the next level, it's quite amazing data. There's also with regards to, you know, use of social media in communications, taking that to the next level, how we reach out to everybody all around the world are great examples. And I have to say, although that is an amazing trend that we're seeing, for example, holograms and, you know, the virtual office, being mobile, etc., you know, the reality is that I can be on one hand working with some amazing companies on extraordinary, you know, sophisticated technology, but then only just the other day I was working, you know, with one client and we're dealing with an irate, you know, employee because I had to move desk from one side of the, you know, floor to the other. So, you know, I get the best of everything, Jen. I go from high-tech technology to everyday issues that are, look, very important to the individual, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's like, what? What am I experiencing here?
Yeah, let's not get carried away with the holograms. People need to transition from current state desk to future state desk, right?
Exactly. But I have to say, Jen, I know you and me both, we're quite excited about, you know, the future and where it's going. But I also think sometimes the reality is just as important as where we are today, in dealing with everyday issues of whatever resistance it may be or et cetera with team members, just as much as we as practitioners need to keep our finger on the pulse for future trends.
True, true. Look, I think the other thing that comes to mind as I'm looking at this benchmark study is the role of accreditation. And so for the listeners, if you are relatively new to change or, you know, perhaps you're in a line management role or something like that, accreditation is currently a bit of a vexed issue in the change management fraternity. Those that have got 20 years of experience are really cranky that it's being suggested that they need to find accreditation if they want to stay relevant. And those that are relatively inexperienced are jumping onto accreditation and getting really prime roles without the experience. And yet there is obviously a lot of benefits that accreditation offers any profession, particularly a new profession. Joanne, recognising that you will have some bias in this conversation, give us your best. Tell us what you've
done. All right. I'll lay it out there, Jen. Absolutely. Yep. Look, I did my accreditation through ProSci back in 2010, you know, and I have other accreditations as well. Look, having said that, the key thing with accreditation, it's great to have a methodology. It's great to have a, you know, a framework. But at the end of the day, as a practitioner, if you're introducing a methodology or a language is what I call it, it's great to have that consistent language in the organisation because it helps build capability. But at the end of the day, it's whatever methodology and practices you use, you make these tools work for you. You don't become a slave to any tool. So what I mean by that, if we're, you know, rolling out a, you know, a communication plan, or if we're rolling out a, you know, an impact assessment to get groups involved, you don't do that sitting behind a desk filling in templates. You do that to engage with the business through that process. That is part of your engagement plan. And it's great to have that methodology, comfort in having that structured approach, which is essential as a practitioner, I guess. But the important thing is you make it work. You as a practitioner, your confidence and your competence will make any framework and methodology work.
That sounds very sound and pragmatic and, you know, almost non-biased. I give you props for that.
Thank you. But look, having said that, there's a great demand now in our profession to have, you know, some sort of certification. And I think that's coming from a lot of organisations that want that consistent language. You know, from a project perspective, PRINCE2, PMBOK, so change management, we have those disciplines as well. And I think it's a good to have, but it's not a reliance to have. It doesn't make you a better practitioner. You make yourself a better practitioner.
Yeah, look, I can't disagree with that one at all. You know, and I think where I've moved on this argument myself over recent years, and what, so now, for instance, when I recruit early career practitioners, one of the things I am looking for is, have they invested in themselves and put themselves through an accreditation? And part of that is, I actually don't expect the accreditation will make them a change practitioner or a good change practitioner, but I expect that the accreditation creates some norms and some baselines and a safety net, if you like, when I'm not around.
Yes.
You know, and then people have said to me, well, are you going to do one? And I'm like, look, I would stay pragmatic on that from the perspective of, if the market starts telling me I need an accreditation, to get more work or new work, then I probably would. I'd be really disappointed if that happened. but I also understand what the drivers are in the market. It's fear. There's a lot of practitioners out there who let us down with what they do, and accreditation is the quickest way to putting a stake in the ground around standards, I guess.
Yes. Mm. And I think this is what a lot of organisations are probably more looking at, is to have that standard of practice, yes, to have, you know, that accreditation to say, oh, we are using best practice. We are using, you know, a common language, or, you know, this is an understood discipline, et cetera. And that's valuable for many reasons. Mm-hmm. But I think as a practitioner, don't just rely on that to be the end all for you as a individual. I think that personal development is so important, because you bring far more to your role, and that's building trust, engagement, confidence in others. All those value adds is what the individual brings, and I totally agree with you, Jen. You know, it's so important to have your own, you know, what do I bring in this role as a part of this change, as well as, you know, the tools and the language that I use.
Now, we were both at the Allegra Change Think Tank on Wednesday, which was on the theme of what are the emerging capabilities for the change community. Yes. What's your view? What would you have said if you were on stage? What do you see are the emerging capabilities for change practitioners?
Wow. Look, great question. What I see as an emerging capability is whatever it takes to bring confidence into the room. So in other words, this is the coaching, confidence and trust that you have with your executives. Mm-hmm. I totally agree that, you know, the whole change relies on sponsorship from the top, and if you don't have that relationship and trust with executive sponsorship, then it's going to be an uphill battle all the way. So I think having that trusted advisor relationship with executives and being that coach for the executive to help them be that capable change leader at the top. I think that's, whether that's an emerging trend, I probably don't think it would be, but I think it's a must-have regardless of whatever emerging trends comes out. I know this from my experience, you know, merger and acquisition, global perspective. You know, I'm the enabler of the change, but the driver of the change was my executive sponsor. And my relationship with the executive sponsor was a must-have. So whether that's coaching discipline, whether that's, you know, understanding what these trends are and being a trusted advisor with the actual executive in having those relationships and understanding, having your finger on the pulse of what are some of the trends that are coming, what are the movements in the market, how change is involved, etc. I think that's the key relationship there is between you as a practitioner and your executive sponsor.
Outstanding. Joanne, as I suspected, this 20-minute change chat was going to go very, very fast, and we're just about at the end. Tell me, as a final parting gift to the listeners, what do you think they should be thinking about next week with regards to change in the workplace?
Great question. Thank you, Jen. I'm gonna lead back and rely on best practices here for a moment.
Okay.
Going back to communications here, there's a question that was asked to everyone who participated in the survey, and the question was, what would you do differently regarding communications? And here's the top five.
Yep.
More communications, better communication strategy, communicate earlier, more attention to senior leadership, and more dedicated people working on communication.
Well, that sounds like a bit of a to-do list for next week, if ever I heard one. Always a sound one. Joanne Rinaldi, thank you so much for your time today. Really, really appreciate you making the time. For the listeners, I'm going to put Joanne's details in the blog post that comes out about this. But, Jo, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Jen, you're most welcome. Keep up the great work and creating value for our listeners.
Look, it's my pleasure. Listeners, before you go, if you're enjoying these podcasts, I encourage you to get onto iTunes and leave a review or share it with your friends. The purpose is, how do we dispel the myths around change management and make it clearer? And if you've got people in your life you think should know more about it, then please share the podcast. But thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next time.
If you enjoyed this Change Chat, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.